Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, March 5th. Is that right? Today's the 5th?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, good. Because I just realized I can't read the calendar on my computer in dark mode today. Huh, that's interesting. Okay, anyhow, it's March 5th, 2015. And despite the technology issues that I'm experiencing at this moment, yay beta software, I have with me today John Martellaro. How are you, John?
I'm good. I have 49% of the A-team right here.
That's right, 49%. And also Kelly Gumont. How are you, Kelly?
Sorry, Jeff, I can't hear you over the sound of my being right.
Oh, that's totally awesome, and I'd expect nothing less from you. And that was excellent foreshadowing, or segue, however you want to look at it, for our first topic. And our first topic, as I was writing the article, I was thinking, I really need to throw you two together to talk this one out. This is the news that the iPad Pro, so the 12 or 13-inch iPad that's been rumored to be coming, is coming in September, not this spring, which seems totally reasonable to me. But then there's this other part where Apple is experimenting with USB 3.0 ports directly on the iPad so that you can hook up USB keyboards and mice and external hard drives. And as I'm writing this, I'm thinking, I'm writing about Microsoft Surface Pro, not iPad, and I can't wait to hear what John and Kelly have to say about
this. Let's think about this in Spock-like fashion. The fundamental issue here is the Surface Pro failing because it has a keyboard and external connections? And the answer is no. It's failing because the keyboard is crappy. It's failing not because it has external connectivity, but because it is a poor product.
It's a poor product.
To carelessly assume that the Surface Pro is failing because it has connectivity would be wrong for Apple to seize on. And if, in fact, Apple wants to expand its market share to exploit the larger screen to find new markets for the iPad where its abilities and ability to for creation of content and the utilization of a larger screen implies greater connectivity, then that would be logical. And so it's the most shallow kind of reasoning to say that if Apple were to copy some technical elements of the Surface Pro for its own good, that it would fail like the Surface Pro. That's not good reasoning.
Okay, Kelly, before you totally rant,
yes.
I'm gonna get my response in.
Please do.
Which is the reasoning that you just detailed, John, for why this is not a good idea. Meaning the flawed reasoning. I totally agree. And yet I still think that this is not something that's happening. And the reason I believe it's not going to happen is because first it blurs the product lines. So you have less of a distinction between what an iPad and a MacBook Air would be.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also confuses what the product itself is. Because Apple has gone to great lengths to create something that knows what it is, meaning the iPad knows it's a tablet. With the changes that would come with adding the USB ports and potentially other things, we don't know what those would be, it becomes more like a Surface tablet. And the Surface tablet doesn't know what it is. It's kind of a tablet, but it's also kind of a laptop, and it's stuck in this limbo area that makes it, I think, a very hard sell for a lot of people. And Apple isn't into the hard sell like that. They want clear distinction in the product lines. And I think that that the ideas that are being, or the rumors that are being tossed around about what would be in the iPad Pro would blur those lines and make this a confused product.
Apple has proven that they can succeed where other people have failed through
That's
proper
totally
implementation.
Absolutely. And John, I will say you are correct that it's wrong to presume the flawed reasoning behind the Surface failure. I think the biggest piece of Surface failure at this moment is Windows 8. Because even if you get one of these machines and you think it's fantastic, it's hard to use.
Exactly.
The end. And that doesn't have anything to do with how many USB ports it has or whether or not it's got that stupid keyboard or whatever.
Exactly.
So there's a big problem there already. Now, I'm going to actually 100% agree with Jeff and take this way back. It's Thursday, right? So throwback Thursday. Think back to the G4 Cube, which was supposed to be the prosumer machine. Wasn't a pro, wasn't a mini. It was this weird middle ground. And remember that they sent it off to the Daisy Hill Puppy Farm pretty quickly when they realized that nobody could figure out what it was, what it was for, what it was supposed to do. Like, you know, it was very much, what's your function? And nobody had a clear answer. And like, if you need more power than is in this, but you don't quite need one of these big silver cheese grater towers, then you buy a cube. No. Nobody went for it. So Apple has, and remember,
Kelly, the killer though for the Cube, which was a fine product, was it was too expensive.
Well, it came with those beautiful Harman Kardon softball speakers, and it had a lot of stuff going for it, but nobody could figure out why you needed that and not a mini.
But nobody could afford it.
Or why you needed that instead of a pro.
It was one of those things where Apple says you should buy this because it's so cool. But nobody could afford it.
Well, it was where the word prosumer came from Apple. It was the first time we heard that word from Apple. And it didn't do well. And the reason it didn't do well is because nobody could figure out what it was for. Why do I need this if I can get a mini that's way cheaper? Or why do I need this if I want to be able to swap out the graphics card? I'm going to buy the tower so that I can flop the door open and swap things out willy-nilly. Which was awesome. I kind of miss it. But neither here nor there. I think Jeff is 100% right on the product that Apple releases having a very clear idea what it is, and Apple having a very clear idea what it is. And if the other rumor that we're hearing about Monday is true, which is a Retina MacBook Air, I don't think it's going to come in gold, John. Sorry. If that comes out, it's going to be a super thin, super light, almost 12-inch screen with a keyboard attached. And if it's got the Retina display that's been behind the iPad and the iPhone for all this time, then that's going to blur the lines enough, I think. I really, really think that's as close as Apple is ever going to get to smushing these product lines together. Keep in mind, I'm going to continue to say this until Tim Cook walks out on stage and hauls a 12-inch iPad out of nowhere. And until he does that, I am going to continue to say that anybody considering this as a possibility is totally and completely wrong. And I love you, John, but that includes you.
I have another analogy that I think is better, and that is the original Mac. The original Mac was closed. Steve Jobs thought all you needed to do was attach a keyboard and a mouse, and you were done. Mm-hmm. And after the early adopters were done with the early Mac, it failed, and it was failing badly. So Apple came along, and they added SCSI ports. Mm-hmm. They added an internal drive. Mm-hmm. They gave it better connectivity, and the product came back to life.
Okay, how about the iPhone?
How do you address new markets without adding new functionality?
Well, they did that with the App Store, too. On the iPhone, remember, a web app was good enough until it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like Apple doesn't ever change their mind.
Right.
But I really don't – I agree with Jeff on this. I don't think that – adding SCSI ports to the Mac turned it into a refrigerator, and now people were sort of confused which one to put their sandwiches in. That's not the case. Adding SCSI ports made it a computer that you could hook stuff to. It was still a computer.
You mean like with a USB port?
Yes, I do. But but there was no alternative at the time. There was no thinner, lighter thing that you could use instead of that Mac. So this is the difference in my estimation.
Well, I can imagine Tim Cook coming out on stage and saying, you know, we listened to our customers. They told us the iPad was wonderful, but if we're going to go to the next step, here's the things we'd like you to add to the iPad to make it a better tool for pilots, for industry, for commercial use, for hotels, for business, for the military and mapping. Here's the things that our customers have asked us for in a larger screen iPad. I just see that as an evolution of the product, not as a blurring of its essence.
No, it's absolutely a blurring. I think it's absolutely a blurring of its essence. And the reason that I think that is because if Apple was really concerned about what consumers wanted, they would stop using Lightning and they'd start using micro USB like every other thing I have that charges on a USB cable.
I can't tell you the number of times I've knocked my iPhone overboard on my desk and the Lightning cable stuck hard enough so that my iPhone was dangling a foot over the hardwood floor.
Now, if that was
micro USB isn't going to do that.
No, the connector would break and the cable would break.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but if Apple was
hit the ground and it would break.
Mm-hmm. Right. But my point is, I already have 150 micro USB cables. And if Apple was really concerned what consumers wanted, they would just use the cable that everyone else is already using. So we already know that when customers when customers want Apple to zig, they're always going to zag, and we're all going to be the better for it most of the time. And I think that if you're going to put a Retina display on a super thin, super portable laptop, then you're done. That's as close to the Surface version of the iPad as Apple's ever going to get.
Apple has no fear of cannibalization. If they build a product that, say, had a beautiful aluminum keyboard as an option to a 12-inch iPad Pro, and it had iOS 9 with multiple screens, it would be considered a natural and powerful evolution of the product. And we'll see who wins in the marketplace, the iPad Air or the iPad Pro. And if they both win and people love them both, that's great too. I don't see it as a problem.
I don't see it ever happening, so I don't see it as a problem either.
Okay. Kelly, we'll just have to agree to disagree on this one.
We totally will.
And the great thing is, if Apple never announces an iPad with USB ports built in, then the debate can go on, because if they don't do it, we don't know. So we'll have to wait and see. Yeah. But Kelly, I'm with you. I don't think USB ports are coming. But John, I'm not trying to ride the fence here, but in a way I am. John, I'm with you in that I think Apple is looking for new ways to make the iPad line remain interesting and relevant and useful. And so
absolutely
changes.
I agree with that too.
And I'm looking forward to seeing what those are. I just don't think it's going to be a USB port built directly into the device.
It may not be. Maybe Lightning port.
Well, which you can already do. I mean, you can get a USB adapter that goes right into the Lightning port.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah, and
yes,
it works with
true.
some accessories. So some microphones you can connect to it, some musical keyboards you can connect to it.
And what's the point in connecting a hard disk if Apple obscures the file system?
Right.
I agree. Well, it could be a local backup.
You know what you could do is you could plug it in.
Time machine. Time machine for the iPad. Some people asked for that.
No, what you do is you take it and you load it up with 4 seasons of Game of Thrones, so you can watch them on the plane before the next season comes out.
There you go.
Or it could just be a partitioned data space for particular apps, like external storage for videos and music.
That's John, I'm trying to segue.
Yeah, yeah. And Kelly, I totally picked up on your segue. So John, stop talking. Here's how the segue works now. Kelly, it's great that you said that, because it's as if you read my mind and you knew exactly where I was heading next, which is the news that HBO is finally giving you what you have been begging for years.
I know. I'm so excited.
Yes, come April, that's the plan. Just in time for season 5 of Game of Thrones, HBO plans to launch what they're calling HBO Now. And they've been in negotiations with Apple to make sure that HBO Now is on Apple TV. And what this is a way for you to subscribe to HBO without needing a cable package.
The hurdle is having an Apple TV. And that's it. As long as you've got an Apple TV, you can sign up for this and use it.
Does it require a third generation, or will second do?
There's no word yet on how that's all playing out.
Right.
But what we know right now is that it looks like HBO is planning on having this as a separate app. So you have HBO Go, which you have today, mm-hmm.
Right.
Which lets people that already have a cable or satellite TV subscription and HBO as part of their package watch their content on their Apple TV or their iPhone or iPad. HBO Now will let you, without already having a cable or satellite TV subscription, just subscribe to HBO. And then
Fantastic.
Yeah. So then there would be an Apple TV app and presumably an iPhone and iPad app as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is awesome. I'm so excited that HBO finally decided to do this. I'm super pumped they finally worked out. I don't know. I'm assuming the reason it took this long was because of the back end. And then by the time it was ready, like it may have been ready to go in January or even at Christmas time, and they decided they should really let fly with Game of Thrones. And the reason for that is because, if I'm remembering my numbers correctly, season 4, episode 1, the night it debuted, was the thing that basically broke the internet, because loads of people had trouble streaming it through HBO Go, who had legitimate access. And additionally, it was the number one most pirated thing in the history of pirated things. So it was helping like generate truckloads of internet traffic the other way. And so other things were being slow for people. It was one of those stampedes to the internet to watch something awesome, sort of like every time Netflix drops a new season of Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. Or House of Cards. Sorry. I have too many awesome TV shows to watch. So I think there's absolutely a market for this. I think there's loads of people who are totally excited about this. And I think HBO has been smart about this, because HBO made it a thing that people wanted in the first place. Like, I didn't care about being able to get HBO if I didn't have an eligible cable package until HBO was doing consistently awesome television themselves. There's nowhere else that I can watch Boardwalk Empire. There's nowhere else that I can watch True Blood and Game of Thrones and True Detective and, you know, the original series. Oh.
Is Homeland HBO?
No, Homeland is Showtime.
Okay.
That's why I don't watch it. So there's a lot of things that make this a really, really compelling thing. And if you're somebody who is a boxing fan, HBO does loads of those boxing events. And this allows some people who say, I can't cut the cord because sports, to maybe have a reason. Because if the primary reason for that is boxing and you're only watching it on HBO in the first place, you can still have the opportunity to get those events. I think this is an amazing idea. You guys may remember I've told you that I continue to call HBO occasionally and say, make it so that I can give you money directly instead of having to pay Comcast. And it's really pleasing to me that perhaps I've pasted the customer feedback number on Twitter enough times and said it on enough podcasts and told people, if you go and call them, like, that's the only way they're going to find out enough people are interested for them to even start investigating. And so I feel like I have, in some very small way, affected change for people, and that makes me very happy.
As well it should. Thank you for stepping up and being a champion for all the people out there that have wanted to be able to get HBO legitimately,
mm-hmm.
but have had no need for a cable TV contract.
Well, and Jeff, you were the first person I thought of when I heard that this might become a possibility, even, was that this means that you would at least have access to a movie channel, if you so desire, or, you know, a source of programming even, that gives you the opportunity to get that stuff sort of real time. And that's the thing about HBO Go, is once the episode is done airing on the West Coast, I don't even think it takes an hour before it shows up on HBO Go. So if you're watching something late night, you know, it shows up on HBO Go really, really in a really timely fashion. And I really am excited about the possibility, because I think there's a lot of people who are going to be able to take this as an option. And there are even people who maybe live in places where the cable offering isn't that great. Like, I grew up in a place where you couldn't get cable. So we had 4 channels until we got a giant, enormous satellite dish later. But for a long time, it was 4 channels, and that was the end of it. And so for somebody like that who maybe can get internet but doesn't have the greatest TV offering, to be able to get HBO in any case, I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, it is. And it gets a lot of people that much closer to being able to cut their cable cord.
Mm-hmm.
I know the big hindrance for a lot of people is sports.
Yes.
And for me, that's not an issue.
Right.
So I was able to just cut my cord a few years ago, and it really hasn't bothered me at all to not have that.
Right.
I've been doing great with Netflix and the iTunes Store and YouTube, and just there are all these options that are out there. And now if I decide that I really want to be able to watch HBO content as it's happening, then I'll look at spending the $15 a month and sign up for HBO outside of a cable TV package.
And the thing about HBO is HBO wins on this too, because a lot of people are going to be able to cancel their cable and give HBO $15 a month. And if you're paying HBO $15 a month, I don't care how long you have been an HBO subscriber through your cable provider. In 12 months of paying them $15 a month, you will have paid HBO more money than you paid them for all of your cable subscription put together, the end.
Also,
I guarantee it.
HBO is not getting $15 a month from Comcast. They're getting maybe $2.
Right, but that's what I mean, is even if you've – whatever you've been paying, that $8 or $10 a month that you've been paying to get HBO – for all those years, the amount of money that HBO gets from you is virtually none of that. So it's the same example I use for artists all the time. If I walked up to every member of Duran Duran and handed them $20, that's more money than they would have gotten from me in all the years that I've been buying all those albums and all those singles and all those imports. It's the same thing. So, and the thing about this that I think is smart for HBO, it made perfect sense for HBO to do this because, like I said, HBO has programming. People want Game of Thrones, and they want it bad. So, True Blood's over. There's a new season of True Detective coming, which is going to be amazing because the first season was unbelievable. They've got Boardwalk Empire that just wrapped up, which is a really epic show. Last Week Tonight with John Oliver is such a great program. They're doing a lot of original stuff, and they've really turned into a content provider that really needs to be reckoned with, in my estimation, because they're doing the stuff that people talk about. You know, it's them and Netflix. Like, when was the last time anybody rolled into work and stood around the water cooler and said, "Hey, did you see the new episode of The Big Bang Theory?" No. Sweetie, no. People don't do that anymore. It's all, oh my God, House of Cards. What was the name of the iPad game that Frank Underwood is obsessed with now? It's, have you seen the trailer for the new season of Game of Thrones? And by the way, have you? Because, and, you know, it's all this alternative programming. It's all this stuff that isn't necessarily tied to a television. And I love it.
Yep. And I'm among the 10 million broadband internet users that don't have a cable TV subscription. So that's a new market that opens up to HBO.
That's a lot of people.
Yes.
And it's people they could get $15 a month from who maybe aren't paying them any money now to obtain an HBO series. This is a way for them to pay for it. This is the same thing the iTunes Store did initially. This is the business model. Make it easier for me to buy it than to steal it, and I'll buy it.
Yep, there you go. Hey, we're out of time.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, John, thank you for being here today.
You're welcome.
Kelly, thank you for being here, too.
My pleasure.
I'm really looking forward to seeing what does happen with the iPad. And I'm also really looking forward to seeing HBO roll out as an independent offering, just like the old days.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, and thank you to all of our listeners for joining us today, and we'll see everyone again tomorrow.